And again, at least for now, hopefully they'll continue their sponsorship, but we appreciate People's Bank helping us out with Sports Talk Live and the radio station. And let's just go ahead and get down to it. Here's your host for Sports Talk Live, Jason Spiegel.
Thanks, Jay. And for those listening to the show regularly, you are accustomed to hearing Jason Spiegel and Ronnie Barnes, or Ronnie Barnes and Jason Spiegel, or those guys in there, whatever the case might be. Ronnie not able to be in studio today.
Today is Jason Spiegel and Jason Spiegel, which Jason means Spiegel Auburn's going to win the discussions today.
That's right. Auburn will win today. Ronnie in bed or on the couch, in the recliner with the old stomach bug. I think that has hit him and his wife both going around town now. So if you're one of the unlucky ones that also have the stomach bug, bear with it. It'll last 24, 36 hours, and you won't be good as new, but you'll be ready for football. Ronnie should recover in time to watch Alabama, Florida State Saturday night. So before we get into football, we spoke about this before we went on the air. We want to take a little bit of time to talk about Hurricane Harvey and what has happened down in the Houston, Texas area, the place battered by Hurricane Harvey, and the likes that we have never seen and probably never see again, hopefully never see again in our lifetime. 50 inches of rain in some places, and a minimum of 25 to 30 inches. I think 31 dead, and going to be the most expensive storm to ever hit the United States, and that's saying a lot. It's going to be years before everyone in Houston, the Houston area, recovers from Hurricane Harvey. You see the pictures, and we see the video, the news reports, and really we can't get a grasp on how bad it really is. You know, I'm sure everybody saw the picture of the elderly women sitting in the nursing home, water up to their waist, and they're sitting there because nobody could get to them. And finally, after the picture made the rounds and the attention began to hit those ladies, they made a pretty quick effort to get those ladies out, and they did rescue them. But if you're wondering, how can I help? I'm sure most churches in the area, or a lot of churches in the area, are doing things on their own. I can't speak for all the churches. I can tell you about Desperation Church effort. If you want to give money, it's real simple. You can go on the Facebook, look up Desperation Church, and there is a link there that you will click on, Hurricane Harvey Disaster Relief. And once you get on that page, you will see a red Give Now button that you can click on and make a monetary donation. Or also, they are accepting canned goods, canned pet food, no bags of dog food or cat food, diapers, adult diapers, cleaning supplies, rubber gloves, bottled water. Clothing and other items cannot be accepted at this time at Desperation Church. Now, they may be taking that up in other areas, but at Desperation Church, those items that I listed are being received. If you are listening and you know of another church, another group, or individual, whatever the case may be, here in the Coleman area that people could reach out to make a donation, give us a call, 256-737-9505, and share that with us. Again, 737-9505. And let's get those names out. If you know of anybody or a church, again, taking up things that will be going down to the Houston area, let us know. Share that with us. Once again, Desperation Church, only accepting canned goods, canned pet food, diapers, adult diapers, cleaning supplies, rubber gloves, bottled water. Clothing and other items cannot be accepted at this time. Monetary donation, you can hit the Give Now button. Where did the word button come from? Button. And donate there. And again, check your church website. I'm sure a lot of the churches doing the same thing in this area. I know I've heard of others, so just check, make that donation to whoever you want to, as long as you make a donation. All right, well, let's move on to high school football this coming weekend. Really, the opening weekend for college football, but high school games got underway last weekend, a few. This weekend, here in the Coleman area, Hanceville will be visiting Addison. West Point will be home playing Wilson. Vinemont will take the week off after playing last week. Holly Pond at home playing Brindley Mountain. Good Hope is also off this week. Cold Springs at home playing Barry. Coleman will travel to North Jackson. And Fairview is at East Lawrence. So Vinemont, Good Hope with a week off. All other area teams are in action this week. And I think Hanceville Addison game has been named the game of the week. Not sure what qualifications you have to have the game of the week or be the game of the week, but that is the case. Hanceville Addison, the game of the week. Do we know who we are covering Friday night yet? Any idea? Okay, Jay is gone out right now, and Jay gets back, we'll find out for sure who 95.5 will be broadcasting tomorrow night. I'm sure they're covering one of these games, but have no idea who at this time. Tonight, college football, Ohio State and Indiana, Navy, Florida Atlantic, Utah State, and Wisconsin. To watch tonight, you've really got to be a pretty strong football fan, because this is not going to be your best football that you will see this weekend. These are games that only the diehard fans, like myself, Ronnie, and some of the guys out in Vegas will be watching, I'm sure. But this weekend, a slew of games coming up. Your team, I'm sure, going to be playing. Everybody has their eyes focused on Alabama, Florida State, Saturday night at 7 on ABC. We'll have Chris Andrews on with us at 4:15 to talk about that. And not only that, we'll be talking about last Saturday night's big event, the big boxing match, Mayweather-McGregor. What do you think about that one? Mayweather come in a heavy, heavy favorite. I think he was like a 3-1 favorite, 4-1 favorite. And as the boxing match started, you thought, McGregor, he's got a chance here. You know, he landed some punches early and looked like he never really hurt Mayweather, but he did land some good punches in the first 3-4 rounds. About the fifth round, you see McGregor's hands start dropping, and Mayweather took over the fight, and rounds 6-10 was all Mayweather. A lot of people complaining about the stop in the fight, but be honest, McGregor couldn't go any further. At that time, 30 seconds more, and it's a knockout. Mayweather, 40 years old, undefeated, 50-0, raked in a cool $100 million. McGregor, somewhere in the 30 to 40 million range, made more off that fight, or three times more off that fight than any fight he had ever fought. So don't feel sorry for McGregor. He is cashed out and headed to the bank right now with the money. All right, getting off the fight, and just we've got about 5 minutes before Chris joins us. If you haven't heard, Auburn fans like myself, I'm sure have heard, Auburn now in the middle of what could be a ugly, let me say it one more time, ugly sexual harassment scandal concerning the softball team. And this thing is getting uglier by the day. Auburn softball coach resigned, Coach Meyer resigned early in the week, last weekend. But it all goes back to his son, Clint Meyer. Apparently, he had sent text messages to more than one of the girls, but one girl in particular, and had, I didn't read anything really sexual, but made some comments that shouldn't be made between a coach and a player. Made some comments, had slapped the girl on her rear end during a game and made some comments, and the Auburn players then went to the coach, who is this guy's dad, tells him that an inappropriate relationship is going on between his son and one of the players, and the only reply that I have seen is define inappropriate relationship. Not going to be as ugly as Penn State, hopefully. We're just scratching the top of off this. Sports Illustrated broke it last weekend. and beginning to learn things about this, but they are in the middle of a lawsuit, and this goes all the way up to associate athletic director. Not getting the athletic director, Jay Jacobs, at the time. His name has not been mentioned, but it does go pretty high up the Auburn ladder. So your thoughts on that later, coming up in about 3 minutes again, Chris Andrews. But give us your thoughts on the Auburn sexual abuse scandal or harassment scandal. I'm telling you, if it was my daughter, I would be hunting a Clint Meyer come today, and I would probably be camped out on Auburn's steps wanting some answers to how this went on. And it was covered up. I mean, the Auburn faculty covered it up. The Auburn coaching staff covered it up. The girls were put in quarantine, told that they could be put in jail for getting text messages off of another's phone. So the girls were scared into keeping it quiet, and they kept it quiet for some time. He resigned just before the Georgia game. His dad, Coach Meyer, I can't remember his first name, stayed on. And then he resigns last weekend, and the kicker to all this is he is allowed to go into retirement now, draw his full retirement, not a mark on his record as of now, and we'll see how this works out. But hopefully they will teach everybody involved in that a lesson. I don't, you know, if it's Auburn, Alabama, no matter who the school is, these coaches are accountable for their actions. And so hopefully they will get somebody's attention there, and everybody involved that had a hand in covering this up will be exposed. Thank goodness it wasn't the football team. It's bad, but it could be worse if the football team was involved, and we can still play football. All right, Jay, can you hear me?
Yep.
All right, who will you be broadcasting tomorrow night?
That is an interesting story. You know, we were going to do it tonight because they thought it was going to get rained out tomorrow night, and then they changed it to tomorrow night and back and forth. We are going to be in West Point.
Be in West Point. West Point and Wilson.
That's correct.
All right. West Point and Wilson. You can hear that game. Is it 7 or 7:30? J7, right?
I believe it's 7.
All games at 7 o'clock.
And I'm also proud to announce the return of the famous voice of Friday Night Live, Tommy Warhurst, will be back because Coleman is in an away game.
Oh, okay. So Tommy will be joining.
He's going to come work with our new guy, Dylan, and it'll be worth listening to. Let me just put it that way.
Well, good deal. All right. I think we about called up again the games. Let me go over these one more time before we go to a break. Hansville at Addison, West Point at home playing Wilson, Vimont is off, Holly Pond at home, Brindley Mountain, Cold Springs playing Barry at Cold Springs, Coleman travels to North Jackson, Fairview at East Lawrence, and we'll give predictions on those games coming up toward the end of the show. Stay with us. Chris Andrews from Vegas will be joining us when we come back. Sports Talk Live 95.5 Coleman.
Back out the kid with an American face. She wants the wine. He brings a case. Carry them on through.
Hey, guys, let's face it. We all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Did you know that you can save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill? Since 2004, Cyber Broadband has been known across Coleman County as the only provider to bring broadband internet access to rural areas not served by cable or telephone providers, and all without those pesky data caps. Now, Cyber Broadband, which is a locally owned and operated company, is introducing a competitive broadband product, Cyber Next Gen DSL, available through Cyber Broadband for on average 10% less than the other providers. Get those cyber benefits, like a $10 referral discount for anyone else that you refer to the service, or a bundle with the Cyber Broadband cellular service. Save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill today. More information is available at cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Not available in all areas. Generally, if you sign up for broadband service through another company and their promotional discount has expired, Cyber's retail price will be 10% less than the competition's standard pricing or better. Chances are, if you don't qualify for the phone company's DSL, you won't qualify for Cyber's next-gen DSL service either, but you may still qualify for Cyber Broadband's radio service. More information is available at www.cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Woo! It's tough work, but somebody's got to do it.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, Cardio Sculpt, or Dance Fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com. Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089, 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
You know the lyrics to this, Jason? I don't either.
No idea.
Something about having cake by the ocean.
Oh, yeah, I do know cake by the ocean. I didn't know that was it.
You want to hear a funny story about this? All right, so we were.
I don't think we need to tell that on radio.
We were covering a live event somewhere in Coleman, and whoever was providing the music didn't realize that there's an edited version of this song.
No, gosh.
And it started bleeping, like, all kind. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's a sports show.
Cake
go ahead.
Cake by the ocean.
Yeah.
All right, 419, and we have
who is going to be having their cake by the ocean this weekend? Whether it be Alabama or Auburn?
Probably neither one of those.
What do you think, Chris Andrews?
Chris,
well, you guys are way hipper than me. I never heard any of this stuff.
Chris, you've never heard cake by the ocean?
No.
All right, Chris, let me just tell you this, and I won't go much into it, but it is not talking about cake by the ocean.
Okay, yeah. I think, yeah, it's a metaphor. Okay.
Yeah, a little more afternoon delight by the ocean.
Got it.
Chris, how we doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys staying dry? It looks like you're right in Tornado Alley there.
Yeah, we've got a little rain on and off, but under a tornado watch now, but really not bad at all when you look to the southwest of us.
Yeah.
Boy, that Houston is something else.
No doubt about it. No doubt. Oh, Lordy.
Hey, Chris, last week we talked about the big boxing match, the fighting. And I ended up getting to watch that. My son-in-law ended up paying for it, so I didn't even have to pay for it. Went up there. So give us your thoughts on the fight. Did it turn out pretty much as expected?
Yeah, it did. You know, I mean, it was a great betting event. I think I told you last week we had that one bet, the Maloof brothers come in and bet $880,000 on Mayweather. They had another guy on the day of the fight. He came in and he put $1 million on Mayweather.
Oh.
And we still needed Mayweather. So show us how much money was out there on McGregor.
Wow.
And so it turned out real good for us. Now, as I'm watching the fight, now we needed Mayweather pretty good, believe it or not, with all that money on him. But we still needed him pretty good. And as I'm watching the fight, you know, we were sweating pretty hard after those first three rounds. You know, but I've gone back and I've seen the fight again, and I really think that was all within Mayweather's strategy. He was going to wear this guy out and kind of beat him up a little bit late. And when I watched it the second time, I could kind of see where he was never in trouble. He was just kind of playing coy, playing some defense, going to wear this guy out. So even though I wasn't so confident while the fight was going on, when I could see it the second time around, I could see exactly what he was doing, and he had the fight well in control the whole way.
Oh, yeah. And I guess you were sweating a little bit those first two or three rounds, because McGregor did land some punches those first two or three, but like you said, it didn't look like it ever hurt Mayweather.
It never hurt him. He hit him, but I'm not sure how, like, square they were. You know, they were... He hit him in the face, hit him in the body, but I'm not sure they were, like, just dead on with all his weight behind them and, you know, with the leverage that a boxer really needs, you know. So, Mayweather, listen, he's a smart, smart fighter, and he definitely fought a smart fight against McGregor.
Right. You don't get to be 50-0, you know, and be dumb, no matter how tough you are. So.
No doubt about it. No doubt.
Chris, one more question on that. You talked about somebody betting $1 million on Mayweather. What kind of money did that return?
$200,000. Yeah, he bet $1 million to win $200,000.
That's pretty confident, isn't it?
He was pretty darn confident, yeah. I don't think it was his last $1 million, though, by the way.
Yeah, probably not.
I don't think it was.
Probably a million to him would be like a $10 bet for me. So.
Yeah, something like that. I don't think he was down to his last $1 million.
All right. Hey, it's time for football. I don't know about out west, out in Vegas. I'm sure it is. But around here, boy, people are ready. And let's save the big game, the one everybody's talking about, Alabama, Florida State, for last. But tell me what's going on in Gainesville, Florida, with the Gators and all the suspensions. How's this affected the betting line?
Well, it's definitely affected the line. Early on, we had a ton of Florida money. We had opened Michigan a 6-point favorite. We were down to 3, including one guy bet us, I think he bet us like $29,000 on Florida. And so we had quite a bit of money on them. We went all the way down to 3. When the suspensions came in, and I went back up to 4 with it. But since then, it's been a pretty good attack on Florida, on Michigan. And I can kind of see why. I mean, when you look at the suspensions and the charges and all that, they seem a little more deep than just, you know, a kid staying out late and,
right,
you know, we're going to slap his wrists. I mean, these guys, there's like conspiratorial evidence, it sounds like, in some of the things that these guys were doing. And, Jim McElwain may have a certain amount of say in this, but he's not going to have the final say. I think this goes to the authorities. Anyway, I see right now the game's up to 4.5 and 5. Even after the early flood of Florida money. So definitely a lot of money has come back on Michigan, and I definitely can see why.
All right. Do you think – I was listening to another show earlier today, and a guy said that he thought McElwain now was probably unhappy at Florida. Do you think that's the case, that all this is going to – he may end up leaving Florida?
Oh, I don't know. It seems like a pretty good job for him. I mean – listen, not too long ago, really, what are we talking, like 10 years or less? I mean, this was one of the top programs in the country.
Right.
They beat Bama in the SEC championship game when they had Tim Tebow. And, this is, great recruiting area. I don't know that about McElwain. He probably is a little bit unhappy that such a large group of kids committed this. I mean, you're innocent until proven guilty, but if these guys are proven guilty, those are some pretty serious felony charges I think they're looking at. You know, so I don't know. I can't answer that. But if I were McElwain, I'd be very careful before moving on from Florida.
Okay, who do you like in the game? You told us kind of what the line was. Let's just say straight up, who do you like?
I like Michigan. I like them from the start. I think right now a lot of people looking at Florida to really be improved this year. I'm just not so sure. I think they're pretty good, and I think they'll be, you know, one of the better teams in the SEC East. But I'm not sure about their offense. And now with all these troubles that they're having, I like Michigan in the game. I think Michigan beats them.
Right. I agree with you. Glad to hear you say that, because I was already leaning that way. All right, after the Bama Florida State game, we know that's going to be one of the top games, but just for entertainment purposes only, no money on the line, what do you like to watch this weekend? What games has your interest?
Well, first of all, I think the games on the weekend or all three of them are really good. I'm talking about Sunday's and Monday's game. You know, West Virginia, Virginia Tech, a lot of people think West Virginia's going to be pretty good this year. I don't think so. But I think Virginia Tech's going to be real good. And then going off at the same time, 4:30 out here on the West Coast, Texas A&M and UCLA, I think that's a really interesting game because you got two teams that have been kind of disappointing the last couple of years, both with tons of talent and high expectations. And I think by the end of the year, there's a good chance at least one of these coaches is going to get fired. So I'm very interested in that game. Of course, it's at UCLA, but I think pressure on both schools. I'm not sure where there's more pressure. Probably more pressure on Sumlin just because, in Texas A&M, at College Station, there's not much going on except for Aggies football, whereas in L.A., there's 9 million things going on, but still, there's going to be pressure on Jim Mora to produce something at UCLA. Then on Monday, just to kind of cap off the weekend, Tennessee and Georgia Tech. I think I told you last week we had a pretty big bet on Georgia Tech to win the whole thing. So there's we lose well into six figures if they can win the college football playoff. Now I'm not sweating that yet, but obviously some people have some ideas there. And I think Tennessee's probably, after having a couple disappointing seasons, maybe being a little bit overlooked. So Tennessee, I think, might be a little better than people think. So that's Sunday, Monday's game. Tonight, I think this is going to be a really good game. Tulsa and Oklahoma State. And I know Oak State is really good offensively, supposed to be improved on defense, but Tulsa can put some points on the board. I think this is going to be a really good game. Total's like in the 70s. Let me see what we got in here. Yeah, we've got 70.5 as a total. It opened 73. So this is going to be a high-scoring game. And I think Tulsa, I think they kind of hang with Oak State, and I think that's a little bit of a surprise to Oak State because I think they're going to have their hands full. Tomorrow, pretty good game, Colorado State and Colorado. Not two traditional powerhouses, but Colorado coming off a pretty good season last year after being in the doldrums really for about 15 years. At Colorado State, that's a pretty good little program. Of course, McElwain left there and kind of pointed them in the right direction. And I think it's kind of gone in the right direction since then. And I'll throw one more at you on Saturday. Wyoming and Iowa. The kid from Wyoming, the quarterback, is one of these guys a lot of people think he'll be the number one draft choice if and when he decides to come out, which probably going to be at the end of this year. Of course, everybody's talking about Sam Darnold from USC, but and unfortunately, Jason, the name escapes me of the kid. I'm not the greatest.
Yeah,
with the
I'm
name.
Like I'm the same way. I know who you're talking about, but can't get his name.
Yeah, but they're very high on this kid. And Iowa, pretty good program, not the greatest in the world, but I'm real interested in seeing this kid from Wyoming, who I think is, just everything I've read about him is he's going to be a pretty good one. And of course, let's not forget BYU and LSU. That should be a good one too. Saturday night, of course, that got moved from Houston. Now it's in the Superdome in New Orleans. So, kind of a home game for LSU, but I still think that's going to be a pretty good game to watch.
All right, back to Tennessee, Chris, and you brought up something talking about the Georgia Tech game. Take a look at their schedule if you can pull it up. Georgia Tech, and then they've got a gimme game at Indiana State, but then they have Florida, another UMass, and then Georgia. So this Georgia Tech game could end up being big for Tennessee, and especially if they don't win this game. If they do, they're looking at possibly getting off to a 2-3 start.
Yeah. Let me bring that up.
The heat will start heating up fast in Tennessee.
Yeah, no doubt. There's been some pressure there. Where's my schedule? Oh, here we go. Teams. Tennessee. We know that he's Jones has really recruited well the last couple of years. But, I think right now he's definitely looking at some pressure. But
you hate to say a must-win game on the first game of the season,
right?
But it's
right.
It looks pretty important because Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, and Alabama—the next games coming up in the SEC. So
Yeah, Florida and Georgia. It figures those two are going to be, along with Tennessee, competing for the SEC East. And I'm looking, then he's got South Carolina and Kentucky, which I think Kentucky might be better than people think, too. So they got their hands full pretty quick, so they better come out with a pretty good start to the season. Yeah, now that I'm looking at it, that Georgia Tech game, yeah, you hate to say a must-win, but that's going to be an awful important game to this team. And, you know, I'm not Jones' biggest fan, but, he's recruited really well. He's got the talent to pull this off. Let's see if he could do it.
All right. Now let's talk important things, Chris. We got all the unimportant stuff out of the way. Let's get down to stuff that it's important. Give us two or three games this weekend that you feel might be a good play. And let me tell everybody up front, Chris is not going to give us his top game until the end of the show here. And we're going to start having Chris's pick of the week. We started it last year, and the last couple of weeks I think we've done it, and Chris tore it up. So, Chris, give us two or three games that you think would be a good play this weekend.
Okay, I got a couple I really do like. First of all, tonight, I really like Tulsa. I think they hang in there with Oklahoma State. You're getting 18 points. I think Tulsa can put some points on the board, and I think they kind of hang in there. All right, Jason, I know you're going to cringe when I give this one out. Vanderbilt laying points on the road. I knew you'd laugh at that one, but it's down to 3. The game opened like 10. It's been all Middle Tennessee State, all the money on them. But I kind of like Vandy in this spot. I think it's a decent spot for them. And, I just think they have the talent to beat Mississippi State or Middle Tennessee State. And I think they beat them. And
I'm already on that game. And the Vandy, Middle Tennessee. I'm on Vandy on that one. So
you're on Vandy. Yeah. Okay, good to hear. All right,
Vandy,
I like that
three,
one.
So.
And if I'm going to give you one more, we're going to save that Florida State Bama game for a little later too, I guess.
Yeah.
But I got one more that I think we're taking a lot of points here, and I think they can hang with them. Western Michigan, I think, hangs in there with USC. Right now the number is like 27.5, and PJ Fleck was a coach at Western Michigan. He's moved on now to Minnesota, but I'm not sure how great a coach Fleck is, but he could recruit like crazy. Great salesman. So when he left Western Michigan, who by the way was a pretty good team last year, undefeated going into the bowls, there was a lot of talent on that team. The cupboard isn't bare. There's still a lot of talent on that squad. They're playing a USC team who the public's going to be all over them every single game. This game is shot up to 27.5. I don't think they're that much better than Western Michigan. So I think Western Michigan hangs in there with them. So a couple of odd ones, Western Michigan, Vanderbilt, and Tulsa. So not all marquee names, I admit that. But listen,
hey, don't
when
matter.
You make a wager and you get paid, who cares what their name
That's
is?
That's it. And Chris, tell everyone, while we're on the subject, how different it is between when you come to the wagering world, let's say, you don't need to fall in love with a team, right? You need to look at games like this and not always the Alabama-Auburn games.
Well, that's exactly right. That's usually where your best value is, because you can find some sneaky little value, like you mentioned, that people maybe have overlooked. And, I think USC's got a great chance to be the national champion this year. But I also think with enough points, I'm going to bet against them quite a bit, too. And I think this game number one is a perfect example. Like I said, we're up to 27.5. I don't think they're that much better than Western Michigan. You could love a team if you're a fan. That's fine. But don't fall in love with a team with your wallet. Always look every week and see, a lot of these kind of teams, like a USC, they get overbet. Oak State, I think they got overbet, too. I think they're going to be real good, and I think they got an outside shot to win the Big 12. But they're playing a team, Tulsa, obviously from the same state. I think this game means a lot more to Tulsa than it does to Oklahoma State. And Tulsa could put points on the board, and I think you're going to see about 28, 30 points out of Tulsa, and that should be enough to cover.
Good deal. And a perfect example of what you're talking about, everybody that knows me knows I bleed blue and orange, but when it comes to my wallet, I took Georgia Southern this weekend plus 35. So.
Well, I don't blame you there. These these small Southern schools, when they play an SEC team, I mean, they it really means a lot to them. And in all honesty, you got Clemson coming up against Auburn, you know, pretty quick. Yeah. And, you know, that game means way more to Auburn than, you know, a Georgia Southern team that they should handle pretty easily. But I'm sure if they walk out of that stadium with a 28-point victory, they'll feel just fine, and you'll go cash a ticket. So
yep,
that's really what it's all about.
That's
what we're talking about.
That's just the way
anyway.
It works out. So I hope it's not one of those Jacksonville State games from a couple of years ago. So.
Yeah, that went down to the final seconds, yeah. My friend. That probably took years off your life.
At least 5 years, probably more than that after Ronnie got through with me. So. Hey, while we're talking about Auburn, Chris, have you heard anything about the sexual harassment suit being filed against the Auburn softball team and coach?
Yeah, I did.
I know you being a Penn State fan, you know all about this, how dirty this can get, and it looks like it's going to get pretty dirty at Auburn all the way up right now to the associate athletic director having knowledge of it. So.
Yeah, well, the athletic director resigned, although they claimed it had nothing to do with this. I don't know. This is a tough one. I mean, you have to – it's hard to believe that these girls would make totally invalid accusations. So, I mean, where there's smoke, I think there's a little bit of fire. You know, you mentioned Penn State, and, you know, I mean, that's one of the ugliest ones in the history of college sports. But the one thing I always said about Penn State – and I don't know the answer to this. It's not just a rhetorical question. I don't know the answer. What if it was young girls rather than young boys? I'm not sure what the difference, how bad it would be, you know. But you know, you guys got your hands full with this one. You know, I don't know. I mean, you got to hope whoever the innocent party is, you got to hope they get out of this, you know, unscathed as far as, like, their reputation and future careers and all that other stuff. And, you know, like I said, you are innocent until proven guilty. But, boy, there's a lot of smoke here for there not to be a fire. And
I agree
with
you.
Probably quite a bit to it.
All right. Before we get over to the NFL, and let's talk about a couple of games that I want to touch on real briefly because most people are not paying any attention to my Auburn Tigers. What are your thoughts about Auburn, Georgia Southern this weekend?
Well, yeah, I think it's a big number. You know, I've said for years, you know, you always got to watch the number, make sure you're getting proper value. But these smaller Southern schools, when they play the SEC teams, you're almost always in good hands if you take the points. I mean, they cover an awful lot of these numbers. And you just got to think, especially at this point in the season, you take a team like Georgia Southern. I mean, they're healthy. You know, later on in the season might be a different story, but right now they got their pretty full roster. You know, all these kids have been overlooked by SEC teams. I'm sure probably 95% or more would rather be on an SEC team than playing where they are. Yeah. And I think they go in here and they just, you know, somewhere in the back of their mind as they're preparing and then as they take the field, I think they want to just show these NCAA coaches, recruiters, whoever, that, you know, you guys made a mistake by not allowing me to join your roster.
Right.
And I really just think if you just blindly bet almost every one of these Southern schools, a little Southern school, against an SEC team, I think you'll come out way ahead in the long run. Sometimes you got to, like, bite the bullet and say, well, I think Auburn's way better than them. And, of course, they are. We know that. But I still think we're betting games on an individual basis. And, you know, to me, the dog is what you got to play in a game like this.
Yeah, this is the same Georgia Southern team that ran through Alabama a couple of years ago that Saban was so unhappy. I'm not going to use his terms that they ran through him like, but he made Georgia Southern – well, I'm not going to say he made them look better. Alabama made them look very good that day, and I'm afraid Auburn may do the same thing come Saturday. All right, over to the NFL.
Okay.
This kind of gets out of our league a little bit once we start talking about the pros. We don't have anything around except Atlanta. So how good do you think Atlanta is this year, and who do you think wins the divisions?
Well, I wrote them down here, and I got a couple upsets, but let's start with – that one. I think Carolina makes a little bit of a comeback this year.
Oh, I'm glad to hear you say that.
Yeah, I'm not biased in any way. I know you're the Cam Newton fan, but listen, it's not that long ago this team was 15-1. Went into the Super Bowl as a pretty big favorite, almost a touchdown. So, they haven't lost that much. Now, last year they had a little bit of that Super Bowl hangover. Things fell apart on them early and just continued to tumble downhill. But I think they make a comeback this year. And I think Atlanta probably falls back to the pack a little bit. Still think Atlanta has a real good shot of making it as a wild card. But as a betting man, I would take Carolina to win that division. The Seahawks, they're pretty big odds on favorites to win their division. Although Arizona probably still has enough left in them. They can get anything out of Carson Palmer. Defense is really good for Arizona. And Johnson, a great running back, but I'm not sure how much Carson Palmer has left. That would be my big question about Arizona. But nonetheless, they're going to be a pretty good team. And after that, you got the Rams and Niners. I mean, ain't going to happen. Over in the NFC North, you got to like the Packers. I know Detroit's making a little bit of noise, and Minnesota's always going to be fairly tough, and the Bears probably going to be a little bit improved. But I don't see anybody beating the Packers. And the one upset I got in the NFC, I really like the Eagles this year. And I think the Cowboys are overrated, and I think the Giants are overrated. And that looks like the two main competition. Washington's probably still going to be pretty good, too. But I think it's a very winnable division for an Eagles team that lost a lot of close games last year, and they didn't play very well on the road. And I think a lot of that you could look at the young quarterback, rookie quarterback, a lot was laid on his lap last year. There's a huge difference between home and road. And I think you'll see a lot of improvement if he's the real deal. And I think he is. But I think you'll see a lot of improvement from that rookie year to your second year with a kid like Carson Wentz. So I think Philly, if you're looking for an upsetter, I'd like Philly in that division. I think they got a pretty good chance. Right now, I have them on my board. You take 6-1. And I do pretty good on them, so it's not like I'm shying away from any bets. But I think they're the right side. I think they could beat a division with two overrated teams, the Giants and the Cowboys.
Okay, good deal. That Philadelphia one, that one, I wouldn't have got that one, Chris.
Yeah, I know. It's a little bit of a reach. But like I said, they're 6-1 in a four-team division. But I think right now, I think they got a real good shot of winning that one. Then over in the AFC, the Steelers right now, I think you got to pick them to win that division. The Bengals, they're just too inconsistent. One game to the next, one year to the next. The Ravens really, they just go to show you ever since they signed Joe Flacco to that huge contract. Yeah. They've really had trouble filling out the rest of their roster. And I think they're like one or two games under 500 since they did sign Joe Flacco. And I think John Harbaugh is a really good coach, but I just don't think there's much on that roster to challenge the Steelers. And of course, Cleveland, they may look like they're making some good moves, but they're at least a year or two away. In the AFC West, that's going to be a tough one. Kind of like Kansas City a little bit. I think the Raiders come back to earth a little. They really won a lot of close games last year. And they're doing a lot of right things too. But I think a lot of times when you look at the NFL, it's not just this ascendance straight up the ladder. There's usually like up, down, up, down. And right now they were way up last year, caught a lot of teams by surprise. They won't catch anybody by surprise this year. So I think they come back to earth. Denver, I think, is going to be pretty good, but their offense just isn't very good. Defense is going to have to win them a bunch of games this year. And then the Chargers, I think, will be, like okay, but nothing special, probably like the way they've been in the last couple of years. And I think Kansas City, Andy Reid's still a pretty good coach. I know he gets knocked for some of his playoff performances, but he's gotten plenty of teams to the playoffs. So I think KC wins that division. Patriots, I mean, who's going to beat them? It ain't going to be the Jets or Buffalo. I guess Miami might finish about 500. That's about it. So I don't want to spend too much time on him. And then the other one, a team that I really, really like this year is the Tennessee Titans. I think that they're a team that's been doing a lot of really good things the last couple of years. Mariota, I think, is just a gem. and they've given him some good skill position players. Their offensive line, I think, is one of the best in the NFL. You know, the defense has some holes in it, there's no doubt. But they've tried to address it, and, you know, we'll see if they did. It always sounds like they will, but, you know, what they say and what happens is, you know, not always the same thing. So, I think, but I still think Tennessee's a class of that division. You know, I think, Andrew Luck is just not 100%, and he'll start the season on the bench, and I'm not sure we're going to even see him this year. Houston, I think Bill O'Brien's done a terrific job there as coach, but they still got a few holes on that team, and I don't think they're ready to beat Tennessee. And Jacksonville, I mean, every year we're waiting for this team to improve, and, you know, we've been waiting about 6-7 years, and we haven't seen it yet.
Wow. Yeah, Chris, if that turns out to be the case, I will be a happy NFL fan because
okay.
I want to see
good
the
to
Titans
hear.
There and the Panthers. I'll be in heaven after that. So.
Okay.
All right, Chris, I'm going to ask you about 5 or 6 of my crazy questions that we always do,
okay.
And then we'll get your 2 big picks. All right, this weekend, which will be higher, Auburn first downs or Florida State total points?
Yeah, I'd have to go with Auburn first downs.
Auburn first downs.
Yeah,
right.
I'm going to have to go with Auburn first downs, yeah.
I think I'll do the same. I think I'll go with Auburn first downs. All right, which is more this year, Auburn losses or UAB wins? UAB coming back their first season after the departure.
Okay, so.
Which is higher?
Give me the question again.
Which number will be higher, Auburn losses or UAB wins? I like it when you give me that side.
I'm going to say UAB wins.
UAB wins.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go with that, too, because I hope Auburn don't lose a whole lot. So.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
All right, who has more total offensive yards this weekend, Florida State or Georgia Southern?
Oh, it's got to be Florida State.
I hope you're right. I'm going to go with them, too, and I hope we're right on that one. If not, Auburn may be in trouble, so. All right, which combo of teams wins the most regular season games, Alabama and USC combined, or Auburn and Ohio State?
I'd have to go with Bama and USC.
Well, we are agreeing too much on this one.
They're good questions, but we just happen to be falling on the same side.
All right, which quarterback has more completions Saturday? Jalen Hurts or Jarrett Stidham?
Well, I don't think it's going to be Stidham. I don't think that they're just going to need to throw the ball that much. He might not even play the fourth quarter. You know, I mean, it just depends on what Molzon wants to do. So I have to go with Hurst.
All right.
I think you're going to be in a dogfight myself. That's one man's humble opinion.
Yeah, I do too. And I'm just to disagree, I'm going to go with Jarrett Stidham on this one. So.
Okay.
Right, who wins more games this year? Last one. Who wins more games this year? The New York Jets or Vandy?
I'm going to go with Vanderbilt.
I am too. I don't think the Jets get but maybe 2.
I'm hoping it's at least 4 because we got season win totals.
Hey, I may have to take a look at that.
Me on the other. If they get to 4, drinks are on me when you come out here. How's
okay.
that sound?
Hey, and by the way, I mentioned that to the boss lady the other night, and she's all game, so all I got to do is get with Ronnie and his wife, and, hey, we're ready to come to Vegas. So.
Well, I told you, rooms are on me. You're drinking and gambling, you're on your own.
Okay.
But rooms are on me when you come out.
All right, Chris, before we let you go, let's hear the Alabama-Florida State pick, and then if you've got another pick of the week or you want to make that your pick of the week.
Well, no, I don't want to make that my pick of the week, but I like Florida State. I think it's going to be a tough defensive battle, and, you know, I think they hang in there all the way, and I think they have a real big shot of beating Alabama. You know, I really do. I think, you know, you got a good defense coming back for Florida State, and, you know, he's just a sophomore, but he's still a veteran quarterback, Francois. I think, you know, played pretty well. You know, he's not perfect, far from it, but, you know, none of these quarterbacks are at this stage.
Right.
But I think with that solid defense of Florida State, keeps them in the ball game, and I'm looking for a close game all the way to the end. Bama, you know, got to be cursing Bama for the last 20 years, so they'll probably pull out a victory. But I think Florida State stays within the number. Taking 7 right now, I think, presents a lot of value.
Okay,
here's my best bet of the week. Some of your fellow Alabamans may appreciate this. I love Troy State.
Troy State.
I think they are one, you know, and I saw one analyst the other day. He went through, and he was really thorough, probably more thorough than I could even be right now. But they are a good team. You know, they've had a good program for a long time, really. They got their new coach, what is it, second or third year? I think it's his second year. But I think that this is a team kind of on the rise. Again, one of those schools with, you know, those tough Southern kids, not quite good enough to make the SEC, but they're still tough, tough players. They're going to Boise State, and Boise State, I just think, is overrated. They're still looking at the Chris Peterson years. They're not as good as they have been. You know, they still have a pretty big home field advantage. That's fine. But you're getting like 12 points with Troy. Yeah, I've seen some of the wise guy money has shown on Troy. I definitely agree with that. I think Troy gives them all they can handle and definitely stays within the double-digit point spread. That's my best bet of the week.
Okay,
I like them a
good
lot.
Good deal. I've got to look at that one because that's one that was not on my radar, but it is now.
Well,
definitely at the
top. We talked about it earlier. There's where you find the winners, just
that's
like
it. That's it. All right, Chris, man, we appreciate it, and I hope you have a very profitable weekend, and I hope our teams win. I'm not going to say which teams, but I hope our teams win. So.
I do, too. I do, too. Anyway, you stay – that's my other phone. Anyway, you stay safe, my friend. I know you're down at Tornado Alley down there, so stay safe, and, you know, you have a great weekend,
hey,
too.
Chris, real quick before you go, tell everybody about the radio, where they can find you on XM.
We're on XM Channel 204, and it's VSIN Radio. And, boy, we've just expanded our hours. We're on from, I know out here, well, West Coast times, from 4 a.m. we go till 5 p.m. So that's West Coast time. So we add a couple hours for you folks. And, you know, we cover sports betting is probably 95% of what we're talking about. Every once in a while we throw a sports story in there. But we cover the numbers. We've got Brent Musburger, you know, a Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah.
You got me, Jimmy Vaccaro. You know, two guys have been around this business for an awful long time. So tune in. I think if you're even making a wager for entertainment purposes only, I think you'll enjoy what we have to offer. So,
good deal.
Yeah, you can follow us on that. VSIN.com, too, is where you can find a lot of their stuff.
All right. Thanks a ton, Chris, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
Okay, you got it, pal. See you later.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Chris
Jason,
Andrews.
I hate to kind of break in on here a little bit, but there is currently some pretty bad juju going on west of here. Some of the lines from Hurricane, what's his name? I don't forgot his name.
Harvey.
Yep. There have been some tornadoes on the ground producing some pretty severe.
We may have to juju home here in a minute.
Well, it's not coming this way. It's as part of the little lines, you know, that are coming out, and they're angling farther north, and the bad stuff is happening in the lines. But I was just looking at some pictures of some damage. Of course, and some of the meteorology guys, James Spann, he's going live, but it's torn up streets, it's torn up churches, it's torn up buildings. From about Brilliant, and it was moving towards the Lynn communities and the Haleyville communities. So,
okay,
not coming this way, but we are under a tornado watch until 8. But our friends to the west, you know, there's already been enough damage done, you know, down in Texas and Louisiana,
right.
And now it's tearing up Alabama.
Right.
So.
If you've got something you've got to do, you might want to go ahead and do it. Looks like we've got it a little bit before the storms move in. Jay can probably tell us more since he's looking at the radar. But and then let's get home and get in your place that not too far away from a storm shelter. This may be one of those nights. So.
Maybe. Y'all stay tuned. We'll keep you up to date on whatever's happening here. So.
All right, let's go to a break. That was Chris Andrews from Vegas. We'll be right back. Sports Talk Live. The lines are open now, 737-9505. Give us a call.
Broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio. From a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer,
Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio. WRJMLP, Cullman. Live 95 is Cullman's Independent Radio. And now it's time to check in on our regional news from the Alabama Radio Network.
That's not news from the Alabama Radio Network. Let's try that again.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. Numerous donation sites popping up across Alabama as we offer relief for those suffering from Harvey in Texas and elsewhere. At Boutwell Auditorium in Birmingham, they're accepting donations through Saturday. Annette Davis tells WBRC she donated items today because she feels so bad for the victims.
Especially the elderly, and I saw the day a gentleman was trying to walk with a walker, and he had must have had knee surgery or something, and he was like just standing there waiting for someone to come and get him. And I know I can't get him, but I can at least try to help them some way.
Mayor Bell says the VA Medical Center will be taking patients from the Houston area. A Cullman County man accused of soliciting minors for sexual favors by offering them drugs. The sheriff's office's two victims of Kenneth Woods have come forward. EWTN, based in Irondale, expanding into Europe. The Eternal Word Television Network opening an office north of London so they can expand their programming to European TV channels. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. Four people arrested in connection with a burglary and identification theft ring in Etowah County. The group accused of stealing a gun and cash plus credit cards from a home and then using those cards at various businesses throughout the county. Baldwin County Sheriff's deputies arrest five people they say were part of an organized crime ring based in the town of Seminole. Investigators say the group stole $29,000 worth of property from numerous homes. Plus, they say the suspects worked together to target specific houses in order to steal large items like lawnmowers and generators. Authorities now working to reunite victims of the crime ring with their stolen property. A fight caught on video at Alabama A&M. Officials calling it an isolated incident, saying those involved are not students at the school.
It kind of raised questions like, why was that person here in the first place? And, like, what was their purpose?
No one in the video has been identified. The UAB and Me program in full swing. Football players plus the character coach and spirit squad visiting elementary schools around Birmingham, promoting a message of teamwork and spirit. I'm Angie Norvell. This is ARN.
Summer might be ending, but a better you is just beginning. You need beauty rest, innovation, and technology for high-performance sleep. Find it for less at the Beauty Rest Labor Day Sale, with great deals on select Beauty Rest mattresses. Plus, get a free box spring or savings up to $600 on a Beauty Rest Smart Motion Base. Find a retailer at beautyrestretailers.com.
This is State Health Officer Dr. Don Williamson. Colon cancer is the second leading cause of cancer deaths in Alabama, but it doesn't have to be. The disease starts with no symptoms, but with early screening can be treated and even cured. If you're 50 years of age or older, talk to your physician about colon cancer screening. For more information and resources, visit our website at adph.org/fitway.
This message brought to you by the Alabama Department of Public Health and this station.
In Money News, Publix grocery stores collecting money at the register to help Harvey victims. They say all donations will go to the American Red Cross's disaster relief efforts. Other businesses like restaurant chain Rock and Roll Sushi collecting for folks suffering in Texas. Owner Ryan Hallmark, speaking with Alabama's Morning News on WERC in Birmingham with JT, says the response has been amazing and the items donated go directly to people in shelters.
We've got one 48-foot trailer that's committed to loading and trying to maybe get going. If we can have it loaded by Sunday, Dalton and I are actually going to drive it out.
Donations being accepted at Rock and Roll Sushi locations until 9 p.m. Baxter Incorporated completing a $270 million Opelika expansion. Governor Kay Ivey on hand to celebrate the completion of the project. Anniston City Council making an attempt to bring more jobs to their community, discussing a three-year incentive package to make New Flyer of Anniston the home of battery technology research facility. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
Man, we may have upgraded you from last season. Did you hear that in full stereo?
I'm telling you, it sounded good.
Yeah, y'all were in like mono channels last year because we had a bad cord, but we got that replaced. Man, that's one of the things I love about being in radio. You've got the headphones on, man, you hear it out the left channel, you hear it out the right channel. Good stuff.
Yeah. All right, Sports Talk Live, we are back with you on a stormy Thursday afternoon. Not stormy where we are, but...
Yeah, we talked about that just a little bit again. There's a couple of tornado warnings associated with Harvey, but they are to our west, and they are tearing up some areas, but those particular tornadoes are associated with those particular bands, and they're moving almost due north, which, I mean, you never hear of that in Alabama, but, you know, this is a hurricane. It's not a traditional spring or fall storm. So they don't appear to be coming towards us, but right now the area is affected. Brilliant to about Lynn to about Haleyville, and they're moving almost due north, just a little bit of a jog to the east. So.
Right, and when you turn on 3340 and James Spann has got the suspenders on and he starts talking polygons and, oh, you know it's serious business. And, you know, it don't really matter if it's a tornado off of a hurricane or a tornado that's 2 miles wide. If it hits you, it's a tornado.
So. Yeah, and I saw some pictures of the damage, and it is tearing some stuff up. I mean, this is not radar indicated. This is causing damage as we speak. So
be on your toes. Stay tuned right here. We'll keep you up to date.
And hope it don't come this way.
Right. If it comes this way, this old boy will be headed to the house, and Sports Talk will be over with. So I am scared of tornadoes. Tornadoes and snakes.
And I will hunker down and give you play-by-play of what street the tornado is crossing in Coleman County.
Okay,
so
good
what
deal.
I do. So.
You heard it. I'll be listening. All right, we are off to the weather there, but the number is 737-9505, whatever you want to talk about, whether it be the weather, sports, or anything in between, we'll talk about it. So give us a call. You heard Chris's picks. Let's go over them again. Chris likes Florida State plus the 7. He really likes Florida State plus the 7, but his pick of the week, now this is the one that he puts his main thought, and if he was putting money, he would put his money into this one, Troy State. He is taking Troy State plus, I think he said, 12, playing at Boise State. Boise State from years ago, as he said, during the Chris Peterson days, was a force to be reckoned with, but not that good of a ball club now. He likes Troy State plus the points. Also, he likes Vanderbilt minus 3 playing Middle Tennessee State. And I'm looking for the other picks in the NFL. He likes the Carolina Panthers, the Packers, and the Eagles, as well as, of course, the Patriots. And I think we got a call, so we'll stop that here. 504, again, keep an eye on the weather. Things change. And we do have a call. It's Jeffrey. Jeffrey, welcome back to Sports Talk Live. Flying solo today, Runny, under the weather.
But now you got your free co-host.
Oh, it's a call.
Do what, Jeffrey?
Jeffrey, you're the co-host for Sports Talk Live today.
I said you should have called me.
Yeah, hey, you don't ever know what's going to be coming in here, who's going to come in or what. So, what's going on, Jeffrey?
Oh, not much. Just watching the Harvey come in.
Have you got your maroon and gold on already?
Maroon and gold, yes, I do.
I bet you're wearing it every day this week.
I wear it every day, all the time. What are you talking about?
And do you still wear shorts
every day? I don't know if you know this or not, but they play more than just football down there, so I pull for all of them.
You keep up with all of it?
Oh, yeah.
You're a more dedicated fan than I am, then. Hey, speaking of that, have you heard about the Auburn sexual harassment suit?
With the Meyer? Yeah, yeah. I've heard about that.
What's your thoughts on that?
It's his son, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's his son. You know, his son resigned before, I think, of the Georgia game, and no explanation was given. He just... time to resign, and now Coach Meyer has went into retirement, and now we know why. So,
yeah, that's not a good thing.
No, I'm afraid it may get ugly at Auburn before it's over with.
Yeah, that's bad. But how do you really punish a softball team? I mean, you know, it's not like they're bringing in the money football is.
Right.
So how do you really punish them? I mean, I don't think I've ever heard of a softball team being punished. Y'all may correct me on that.
No, I don't have any idea. You know, college softball.
I don't think I've ever heard of a softball team getting bad enough to get punished. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there'll be something handed down, but like I said, I've never heard of anything being done.
Right. And it may be that the softball teams just don't make the news like the football and basketball, so that may be why we haven't heard of it.
That's true.
Hey, what about, before we get on to Florida State and Alabama, what about the other part of Florida, the Gators, 10 suspensions going into the game against Michigan this weekend? They have committed.
Harbaugh was messing around going, I'm not going to release my depth chart. Top that. And yeah. Apparently McElwain down there said, well, I'm not even going to have a depth chart. How's that?
Hey, it's getting bad at Florida now.
I'll be honest with you. I don't know. I think there's going to be more to that than what there is. I think there's something. I think they have to pay that money back for them to be eligible to play again. I believe that's what happened Saban's first year when they had a bunch of players.
Do you know, Jeffrey, exactly what they did? Because I'm kind of in the dark on this.
From my understanding, they had a credit card that the university gives them, and it's supposed to be allotted to spend for certain stuff. And from my understanding, they took that credit card, bought stuff, and sold it to get the money that wasn't on the list. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Basically, if you and I did it, it's fraud and theft.
Right. That's kind of like the book scandal that has went on at several universities. I think
exactly,
Florida State
exactly.
Even involved.
You buy a bunch of books, and you turn around and sell them, and you keep the money for yourself.
But you know,
yeah, it's,
how do you prevent that when these kids, a lot of them come from nothing, they have no spending money? How do you prevent that?
I really don't know. To be honest with you, I don't know. It's a shame because, I mean, you know, a lot of these kids, I was listening to that Brittany girl from Last Chance U, another radio show the other day. And she was talking about some of the kids that show up down there at Scuba, you know, before she left down there. She was talking about there was kids that show up, and they would tell them, this is the first bed I slept in like 6 years when they stayed at the dorms. I mean, you know, some kids, just they come from absolutely nothing. You know, a kid, she said she remembers a kid showing up one day, had a backpack on his back, and that's all he had to his name was that what was in that backpack.
Mm-mm.
So, I mean, you know, it's, I don't think there's any really way to police it. Be honest with you.
No, and I can't say that, you know, I wouldn't do the same thing if I was that kid. I've never had anything, never knew what anything really was, and now I've got a chance to have a bed to sleep in and a meal and a little extra spending money. Who knows, you know? We can all say.
I would like to say I wouldn't act like that, right. But who knows? I'm like you. I'm not in that situation.
Right, we all can say that.
If I was put in that situation, it's probably a whole new deal.
Yeah, and Bo Jackson, you know, back in his time, he came probably not that bad, but he slept in the floor, talked about that it had been several years that he spent sleeping in the floor before he came to Auburn.
Well, who was that? Wasn't there a guy from Alabama a few years back that slept in his car? It wasn't from Alabama. It was a basketball player from somewhere. He slept in his car somewhere for 2 or 3 weeks before the season started. So
wow, yeah.
I'll be honest with you, I'd be the same way. You know, if I'd never had anything like that, I'd probably blow a bunch of money myself.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's just the way it is. I don't know what you do about it, and it's easy for us to say, oh, they've got that free scholarship. That free scholarship don't mean a lot to a guy who don't have a penny to spend outside of college.
Well, what's sad about that is they have that scholarship, and I know they've raised the money so they can give them up a little bit as far as spending money, but the problem is they can't have a job because every job they ever get is going to be questioned,
right.
You know, and I think the NCAA keeps them from getting certain amounts of jobs.
Yeah, and so, how do you work that job and then spend the time on the practice field that you need to spend?
Exactly. So, I mean, I don't think there's any way to police it, to be honest with you.
Well, Jeffrey,
I guess they can stop spending so much money on these new locker rooms and start giving the players more money.
That's not going to happen.
That's one way to help it out.
That's not going to happen. I don't.
No.
Hey,
no,
let's jump over
right,
to Florida
that's not
State.
Happen. Everybody got to have that bling.
That's it. You've got to attract the players, and that's what does it, apparently. So.
Exactly.
All right. What do you think this weekend? Your Seminoles playing Alabama, the nation, everybody looking at this game?
Well, like I told you last week, I think it's going to come down to how well the offensive line of Florida State can handle Alabama's defensive line. That's the main area to me that I'm questionable.
Did you hear Chris?
Their line was susceptible last year to giving up stuff that they shouldn't be giving up. They got to protect Francois better. But on the other hand, Francois also got to get hit with the ball quicker.
Right.
Some of those hits he took was because he held on the ball just a little too long. I think Florida State's secondary matches up real well with Alabama's wide receivers. I know Alabama's got some really good wide receivers. Florida State's got a real good secondary. So I think that's going to be a good matchup to watch. The defensive line from Florida State's been touted real big, so it's going to be interesting to see how they handle Scarborough. He's supposed to be 100% healthy and in better shape than he was last year, so you know what that means. That means he can run all over the place.
Yeah, he's a beast. There is no doubt about it. If he's healthy,
yeah,
he is a beast.
I think it's going to be a good game. I'm hoping it lives up to everything it's going to be. I hope we don't get, like I told y'all last week or the week before, the thing that worries me is Alabama's always really, really good in these games, and Florida State always seems to start out a little slow. That's what worries me. I think if Alabama gets out to a couple touchdown lead, I don't think they can bring it back like they did against Ole Miss last year.
No, if Alabama gets out to a 2-touchdown lead, you can probably turn the lights out. So
yeah, you might as well turn it over and watch somebody else play.
Reminds me, all the game. Why is it all the games come on at the same time? All the good games that you want to watch are 6:30 and 7 o'clock.
I have no idea. I've seen it in Florida and Michigan at the same time.
Let me tell you why that happens. It's just like all the big radio stations. They stop their music and play all their ads at the same time.
They want everybody to stay tuned in to them.
All right, yeah, listen to this. Saturday night, Alabama, Florida State, 7:00. In which nobody except Auburn fans are interested in the Auburn Georgia Southern, but it's 6:30. Tennessee Georgia Tech 7:00. Texas A&M UCLA 6:30. West Virginia Virginia Tech 6:30. South Carolina South Carolina is earlier in the day. The rest of the games are early in the day. Vandy and Middle Tennessee State. Nobody interested in that except Vanderbilt or Middle Tennessee fans. But all the good games are 6:30, 7:00. LSU BYU has the nightcap, and if my time is right, that's an 8:30 kick. Do you know if that's right, Jeffrey?
That's what I've heard. I didn't know if it changed once they moved it to New Orleans or not.
Wow, that one will be midnight.
Yeah, well, at least you can wrap it up good.
Oh yeah.
Hopefully I want to stay up and watch the last games. If as far as they get beat, I may go to bed early because I'm pretty sure my Facebook's going to blow up.
Yeah, you might not want to look at Facebook if Alabama, especially if Alabama handles them like they've handled some in the past.
Well, this is the way I look at it. If Florida State beats them, that's good. That's really impressive because nobody's giving Florida State a chance. So, I mean, they're just going to do what they're supposed to do if they beat them, right? Is that how it goes?
All right, yeah.
I think Florida State's got a real good chance.
Did you hear Chris? He loves Florida State plus the points. He thinks it'll come down to the end, and he didn't sound real sure who he thought would win, but he does love Florida State plus the 7. So.
Well, okay.
And he is the man that sets the line. So.
Hey. I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to live everything it's hyped up today. I really do.
I hope it is. I hope it's not one of those 35-6 and it's over with in the first quarter games.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
All right, let's talk about a little high school football. What happened to the Bearcats last week?
Whew. Well, you give up a 4th and 23. You give up 27 yards on a 4th and 23. It's probably not. And then you give out the 90-yard kickoff.
I thought Auburn was the only ones that done that. So is it did Hartsell handle Coleman, or was it just those couple of plays the difference in the game?
it's basically a couple plays. I think Coleman gave up like 3 fourth-down plays they probably should have stopped. They gave up a couple deep pass plays that they're like busted coverage to me is what happened. It's just rivalry game. I mean, it was tooth and nail and clawing and spitting and bleeding and, Coleman clawed their way back to tie it up and then they turn around on the next kickoff and they let a 90-yard kickoff return go back. Yeah.
At this week.
It kind of takes the wind out of yourself when you fought hard because they were down, I think they were down 11, I believe. Yeah, they were down 11. It was 25-14. They came back, got a touchdown, a 2-point conversion, come back, held them on defense. They Hartzell flubbed the punt, about 12-yard punt. They ran about 3 or 4 plays, centered it up in the middle of the field, and kicked it to tight. So they fought their way back to tight at 25-all. And then the next kickoff is when that guy, they swivel kicked it, which I'm never a fan of a swivel kick. I don't know if he meant to do it or he missed the kick. But he caught it about the 1-yard line, and defense met him at about the 30, and by that time he's full speed. And he just really, found him a hole and a seam and went right up the middle.
It sounds a lot like the old Auburn-Florida State National Championship. You know, Auburn scored and then kicked off to Florida State, and they ran it back for a touchdown. So.
And you know how it took the wind out of their sails, too. I mean, it's kind of, they thought to tie that game up. And I thought they were going to do it. They got across half field, across midfield, got down to about the 35 to 40-yard line, and I thought, they had a good shot. They had about a minute and 20 seconds to go, and turned it over on downs.
The game we covered was pretty similar to that. We had Hanceville versus Cold Springs, and let's see. I believe that Hanceville had about a 12-point lead, and then they came on up, and Cold Springs scored against them, and then the beginning of the third half, it was tied, and then Hanceville wound up pulling that game out by, was it a 12-point lead, Melissa?
Yeah, I believe it was 12. I believe it ended up being 12.
Yeah, it was a pretty darn good game, too.
Well, Jeffrey, what do you think this week?
Who y'all covering this week?
We're going to be at West Point this week.
At West Point, that should be a pretty good game.
West Point and Wilson. What do you think about the Bearcats, Coleman, this week traveling to North Jackson? Give us a preview.
Hope they don't get lost.
Hope they don't. That's a ride. That is a ride. I'll tell you that.
So what do we expect? What do you know about North Jackson?
I don't really know anything about them this year. I know Coleman beat them pretty bad last year. Can't go on that. I think it was like 45-14 or something like that.
Yes, should be a very winnable game.
A lot better this year.
Okay.
I think they're a lot better this year, so it should be a pretty good game.
Hey, Jeffrey, let's get your pick since we're talking high school and we done this last week, and I've been looking for it since we've been sitting here, but I can't find the picks. But let's get your picks for this week's high school games, and I'll give mine just before we go off.
High school, I went 4-1. I can't remember. I think the college games, we picked 3. I think I went 3-0 on those. So I think the only one I missed in high school was the Coleman game.
Okay. All right, this week, Hanceville at Addison. Who do you like?
I'm going to take Addison on that one. I'm
going to take Addison. All right, West Point home playing Wilson.
I'm going to take Wilson on that. They beat the stew out of Sheffield last week. 27-0. I'll go with Wilson on that.
All right. Vinemont playing off.
Playing who?
Off. They're off this week. Them and Good Hope, neither one play.
I'm going for off.
That game is
tomorrow night.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's Friday night.
Okay, the schedule has them both off this week.
Yeah, they were supposed to play tonight, and they changed it till tomorrow night because of the weather.
The schedule I looked at said September the 8th, but I remember that now. All right, let's do Vinemont Good Hope then.
Where's it at?
I don't know. I didn't even know they were playing.
It is at Vinemont.
It is at Vinemont. We're going to go Good Hope on that one.
All right.
Bunch of people from Vinemont just changed the channel. Thanks, Jeffrey.
Holly Pond and Brindley Mountain.
Well, hey, good news is, though, you got Good Hope to turn the radio on.
That's right.
Holly Pond at home playing Brindley Mountain?
Holly Pond.
All right. Cold Springs at home playing Berry.
Well, funny story about the Cold Springs game. I was also follow Jake, a guy from Times. On he does polls every day.
Right.
And I was going to pick Cold Springs, but I actually messed up and hit Berry. So since I went with Berry, I'm going to go ahead and stay with Berry. I know it's probably a loss there. I'm not going to change on this show. I'll go the same thing I picked.
All right. Coleman at North Jackson.
Coleman.
You couldn't pick North Jackson. There's no way you can pick against Coleman. Fairview at East Lawrence.
I'm probably in trouble.
Fairview at East Lawrence.
Fairview. I think Fairview wears them out. I think Fairview beats them pretty bad.
Okay. All right. There's your picks. Addison over Hansville. You've got Wilson over West Point. Good Hope over Vinemont. Holly Pond over Brindley Mountain. Berry over Cold Springs. Coleman over North Jackson. And Fairview winning at East Lawrence.
Yep.
All right. One more question. Does Auburn cover the point spread Saturday? 35. Playing Georgia Southern.
35. Against Charleston Southern?
No, Georgia
is
Southern.
Is that who it is?
Georgia Southern. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll say they'll cover.
Okay. I hope not, but I hope it's about a 28-30-point win, but I hope they don't
go under.
Yeah. So. All right, Jeffrey, we're going to get a little weather in here, and we got Rhett's going to be here at 5:30, so we got to get that weather took care of and get a break.
Okay, where to get the fish at in the middle of a thunderstorm.
That's it. During the storm, I know where I'd get the fish. It'll be at House or Captain D's, one of the two. So.
Exactly. That's the only fishing I'm going to be doing in this weather.
Hi, Jeffrey, thanks, and good luck to the Seminoles this weekend.
We're going to need it, probably.
All right, big man. Thanks.
Thank y'all.
Sports Talk Live 95.5 coming up on a break, and Rex Chambers will be joining us at 5:30, so stay with us and we'll talk a little fishing and what this weather will do to the fish. Sports Talk Live 95.5, Coleman.
Hey guys, let's face it. We all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof. We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Coleman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting-edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Coleman area and most Coleman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband, 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net.
This is Big D, Daryl Nethery, the new voice of Live 95.5 from the popular Facebook page, What's Happening in Coleman, bringing you a new talk show right here on Live 95.5, the Big D Radio Show, on at Thursdays at 6:30 p.m. following Path Changers Radio Show. The Big D Radio Show will not only promote one of my favorite organizations called Saving Forgotten Warriors, but I'll also spotlight local musicians and have them in studio to talk with Big D. The Big D Radio Show is all about Coleman and local events. I'll have plenty to say about Coleman and have guests on the show weekly. Tell everyone about my show and let's have a great time on Live 95.5 with the listeners being able to call in at times during the show. It's the Big D Radio Show. Are you ready? Every Thursday at 6:30 p.m.
Back with you, 526, and just as we said earlier, we have Rex Chambers, only not in studio, on the old telephone. Rex, welcome to Sports Talk Live.
Finally, some decent bumper music, I tell you what.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad. Something we can live with.
I was going to be in tonight, but the wife had a different vision.
Hey, man. Oh, okay. You get what you pay for, man. What can I say?
There you go.
Hey, Rex.
Hey, maybe next week I'll come sit down. We'll do a Facebook Live.
Yeah, we need to do that again. So. Hey, Rex, what is the weather doing? Where are you at? And anything any different with the weather where you are? You here in Coleman?
Yeah, I'm in Coleman.
Okay.
I'm in Coleman, and just watching the dark skies and threatening weather. Don't lie, we're going to get a whole lot of nothing, but I know west of us getting hammered pretty good.
Rex, you spent years and years in the police department here in Coleman. What kind of preparation goes on somewhere like the police department, fire departments and so forth, emergency management or whatever, when a storm starts coming in of this guy? So.
Extra personnel, mainly. Other than that, you know, pretty much everything stays on the ready. But when something big comes, once EMA kind of calls the police chief and everybody over to their office, something's fixing to get rowdy and raucous.
Right. Boy, have you ever seen anything like Houston?
Like what?
Houston, the flood in Houston.
Texas. Oh, no. That's amazing. I hate to even watch it. I mean, it's heartbreaking just to watch that.
Yeah, and years upon years before that area recovers.
Oh, yeah. I got two of my fishing buddies that actually I met them online years ago, and we talked, I don't know, at least once a week, and fished together a couple times on Gunnersville, and they're right in the middle of that, and they've got their boats out there rescuing people every day. So.
Yeah, and, you know, we complain a lot of times. Maybe our grass needs cutting or something that we feel a little bad or something like that and complain, and then we can look down there and it could be a whole lot worse than what it is.
Oh, it could. I mean, you know, we went through in 11 with tornado. We were out of power for so long, but, you know, we weren't knee deep in water.
Right.
But, I was knee deep in tree limbs for about a week.
Yeah.
And no power. And, you know, that's just a scratch on the surface of what they're going through. But, you realize how fortunate you are sometimes.
Right. In the fishing area, say we have fronts coming through like we have today, something similar today, what does that do to fish? I mean, is it a time fish are going to bite or they not bite? Or
it really depends on time of year. I mean, this time of year, it's not a big deal whatsoever. The water temperature doesn't change a lot. Now, your barometric pressure changes up and down, and that's a good thing. Usually the lower the pressure, the better the bite. But no, a storm coming through like on today with, you know, temperature in the 80s, it don't affect them too much at all. Now,
okay.
And you get one of these in the early spring where the water temperature's, you know, just pushing low 50s, mid 50s, and you get a warm rain like today comes in, that's a game changer. That just turns them on like crazy. It warms that water up a few degrees. But like I said, this time of year, a storm don't matter a whole lot. And like I said, pressure does change the bite a little bit, but as a rule of thumb, it's not a big factor.
Okay. While we're talking about this area, if you're out fishing, say you and I are out in Lake Atoma or Smith Lake and a cloud starts coming up, what is the best thing other than just load up if you can? What's the best precautions you can take on the lake with a storm coming in?
Well, loading up, number one, of course, just get off the water. I've been in the same tournament where a death happened with lightning down in Okeechobee back in 2008. But, get off the water, period. There is no safe place on the water.
Right.
Now, you can get under a bridge, especially a low bridge like they have on Gunnersville places, and be a little more safe. But, just get off. If it's threatening, I used to not bother me. I used to stay out in a thunderstorm And when the static got in the air, I'd throw a lure up, watch the line go off my reel, because the static will just keep your line going up. And I thought that was fun. Don't anymore. I seen a man laying dead in his boat, and like I said, in 2008, because he got struck by lightning. And that from then on, once the storm comes up, I'm gone. That's it.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I've never been one. Used to fish a lot on Katoma, and when I saw a cloud, the first streak of lightning, I didn't see another one. I was headed.
I remember being on Katoma and pulling the plug out of the boat.
Yeah.
And having to run down the lake so the water would come out.
Yep, that's it.
Because we didn't have a bilge pump.
Yeah, we've done the same thing.
I've drug it up in the woods with the plug out, just draining it, keep us from sinking before. I mean, back then, you know, it was hardcore. Guys on Katoma, it didn't matter what kind of storm rolled up, but they was going to stay out there and fish. But not me anymore. You know, with age comes a little wisdom, I suppose. But yep. You won't catch me out in the storm.
You probably fished the Katoma Classic. It was the year. It was on the day of the fair parade, and it came a storm that night. And I'm talking about it rained as hard as it could rain for about 2 hours, first 2 hours of the tournament. And me and my partner was fishing. He caught a little old brim, and it come off and was swimming upright in the bottom of the boat that night.
I seem to remember that. But, like I said, I've been out in some nasty, nasty weather over the years, but you just won't catch me doing it again. If it's coming, that's what we got radar on our phones for, brother. If it's coming, I'm gone.
That's it. Better to be safe and live to fish another day. So.
That's right. I've been stuck on Smith before in tornadoes, and literally watch a small tornado go over the rock bluff that we're hiding behind to get out of the wind.
All right, you were stuck there. Now, that wasn't by choice, was it?
No, it wasn't by choice. It was just one of those instant things that come up on us, and we couldn't leave, so we decided just to hunker down by a boathouse on the backside of a bluff wall, you know, where the wind wasn't hitting us. And, and we sat there and watched it go over us, and I'm like, I told my buddy, I said, you know, we got severely lucky, and that's been about 10, 12 years ago. But like I said, just get off the water. And you know when the wind starts picking up and it starts clouding up. Check your phone, got your weather alerts, and just go home.
Yeah, a lot easier these days than it was 10, 15 years ago. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, Rex, how much longer do we night fish?
Most of your classics will be wrapping up here as far as tournament goes. They're night deals. But night fishing's good till just too cold to get out. I mean, the moon in September and October, actually the October moon is one of the best moons to be out in at night as far as the fish bite goes. Years ago, I couldn't wait till the October moon to get out on Katoma and throw a spinnerbait, because you throw that joker up on the bank, and as soon as it touches the water, them big four-pounders would hit it. But it is. Night fishing's good. The October moon, we love to go. Now, this time, the last several years, we go down to Lake Jordan and throw a spinnerbait on October moon all night long, and it's just some of the most fun you'll ever have. It's expensive. You lose a whole lot of spinnerbaits, but you don't lose them. They just get torn up. You catch some of them. You might catch 100+.
Wow.
In a night. But October moon is awesome. And then, you know, once it gets a little colder in November at night, that's when the big stripes start running the lights at night. And everybody's out there at night, you know, kind of bearing, you know, on a decent day. You're not going to get out there with 20 degrees. But, you know, when the low's about 38 to 40, in November, man, that's when you get out there and hit the lights for the big stripe. So night fishing don't really ever quit, but you don't want to do it every night.
Right. Now, see, I was under the impression once the weather cooled down, the night bite was gone.
No, it's not gone. And as a matter of fact, like I said, it actually gets a little better. And sometimes, I mean, we went, my first night trip in almost 2 years was this past January. We were out there at night, and of course, now we had an extremely warm January now.
Right.
And Brent Crow and I, we had a blast fishing at night in January, this past January. So, like I said, it never stops. It just, you got to hit it around the moon, you know, a few days before the moon, a few days after. Usually your best bite at night during the cooler months. But like I said, it don't slow up a whole lot. It's just more comfortable for the angler
in this June, July, August weather.
Yeah, I'm more of a fair weather fisherman, so I stay with that
warm weather. You're with 90% of everybody else.
Right. You got to be dedicated like you are to do that kind of stuff.
I don't know how dedicated I've been lately.
To knock the reel your line in and knock the ice off of it. So.
Yeah, I've kind of enjoyed having a vacation here lately, but I've booked trips the last 2 days going and coming, so I've booked a lot of October trips. Everybody wants to frog fish. There goes the train. Everybody want to frog fish on Gunnersville for October, so those days are filling up pretty quick.
Okay. And when are you, or do you book any during the winter, or is it just about any time anybody wants to go? Or?
Oh, yeah. September, October, November is busy. I go any day that I'm in town, not traveling to a tournament. But December is always slow, but that's fine. You know, it's holiday time.
Right.
And then January picks up again. About the second week of January, I pick up again. Everybody start using their gift certificates and stuff they got for Christmas and stuff. But, you know, it's July, August are my two slow months. And then other than that, you know, it's kind of stay as busy as I want to stay.
I hear you. What do you have as far as tournaments, anything going on locally?
I have the Alabama Bass Trail Championship coming up end of September down on Logan Martin. You've got several. It's going to be October tournaments here on Smith Lake and several September-October tournaments on Gunnersville. Of course, you know, you got the big Smith Lake Park deal on, I think it's first week of October. It's the Saturday, last week in September. That's, I think it's the same weekend as the ABT Classic. So that'll be out of Smith Lake Park. And then in October, you got everything coming. Plus, you got the BASS Open's going to be here in October or last of September. I forget the dates on that. That'll be on Smith Lake. And it's they went down a waiting list on it to fill up some spots. So. If you hadn't got in it, it's too late. I was on the waiting list and just got in today. So,
wow. Smith Lake, how much better is Smith Lake than it was 10 years ago as far as for the fishermen?
As far as 10 years ago, it's five times the lake it was 10 years ago.
Yeah, I remember the Dead Sea is all I remember of Smith Lake.
Yeah. 10 years ago was really just coming out of a funky time. It just, you know, we had a lot of little fish and everything, but that's about when the blueback started arriving, and started growing and started multiplying. And like I said, the last 4 or 5 years has just been outstanding. And this fall is going to be probably one of the best if spring indications go to suit the fall.
Okay, good deal. Let me think. One more question. I live on Lake George. Is there any fish in Lake George?
I got a friend there that fishes all the time. He loves it. I mean, he had a blast fishing out there for big fish in the summertime. I haven't fished Lake George in years. Now he swears up and down he can catch 5, 6, 7 pounders putting the banks.
Wow.
But, and he sends me lots of pictures. But like I said, I haven't been there, so I don't know.
The only big fish I've ever saw come out, I moved over there and I had a little ping pong tournament and my nephew went down, fished off a little swim pier, pitch dark, didn't have anything but one rod and reel. He goes out there and he brings one in that weighed about 8.5 pounds, largemouth, and I've never seen anything else like that from Lake George. So.
The last time I fished there, I caught a fish that should have weighed 12 pounds and it weighed about 5 and had a baby duck in its throat.
Baby duck.
They were starving to death back then, but it is better. I got a lot of bait in it now, so it's a lot better than it was.
Okay, well, Rex, if somebody wants to book a trip before we start, I'm going to get your football predictions, but if somebody wants to book a fishing trip, how do they go about it?
It's easy. Just find me on the web at smithlakebass.com or find me on Facebook at Rex Chambers Fishing. All the info and everything you need there.
All right. If somebody, do you do stripe guiding too? Do you?
Stripe are just bonus fish on my guide trips. Okay. I don't go out and just target them. When they're on top water, they're fun. But if not, I don't live bait fish or anything, no.
Yeah, I just didn't leave them stripe alone myself. But everybody to their own things.
There you go.
All right, football this weekend, a big one for the Crimson Tide, a little one, I guess, for the Auburn. Of course, all games are big to us, but let's start out with Auburn and Georgia Southern. I'm sure you think Auburn's going to win, but what do you think the score will be?
I think I'm predicting a shutout.
A shutout?
Yep.
I hope you're right.
I really do. I'm looking like a 42-point game, and I really see that defense buckling down. Teaching a shutout this week.
Good deal. I'm sure a lot of Auburn fans will be happy if that happens. Alabama, Florida State, Alabama, a 7-point favorite.
Not being a homer, don't see it happening. I let me tell you this, Alabama might win. I don't see them covering points.
Right. That's what Chris.
They might come out with a W, but it'll be by three.
That's about the same thing Chris from Vegas said earlier. He loves Florida State plus the points. Don't know who's going to win.
I do, too. I mean, I think Florida State's going to be top-notch. But like I said, Alabama may come out skin their teeth with that W, but I don't see them covering points this week.
Good deal. Anything else, anything on your mind you want to talk about before we leave?
Oh, we're good, brother. I'm going to try to come in next week. We'll get it going.
Yeah, you need to come in studio with us. Ronnie is out. He is puny today. I think it's just the Alabama-Florida State game getting to him. So.
Oh, he's just got his heart hurting already.
Yeah, well, all right, Rex, man, we appreciate you joining us.
All right.
Take care and stay safe. Thanks, Rex. All right, Rex Chambers. Once again, he joins us each Thursday about 5:25, 5:30, tells us what the fish are biting or not biting. And you heard it, if you're on the lake, best thing to do right now is just get off the lake. So 5:42, when we come back, we'll start making our picks and try to wrap this thing up maybe a few minutes early. Sports Talk Live, 95.5. Cool.
We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Cullman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting-edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Cullman area and most Cullman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband, 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net.
This is Big D, Daryl Nethery, the new voice of Live 95.5 from the popular Facebook page, What's Happening in Cullman, bringing you a new talk show right here on Live 95.5, the Big D Radio Show, on at Thursdays at 6:30 p.m. following Path Changers Radio Show. The Big D Radio Show will not only promote one of my favorite organizations called Saving Forgotten Warriors, but I'll also spotlight local musicians and have them in studio to talk with Big D. The Big D Radio Show is all about Cullman and local events. I'll have plenty to say about Cullman and have guests on the show weekly. Tell everyone about my show and let's have a great time on Live 95.5 with the listeners being able to call in at times during the show. It's the Big D Radio Show. Are you ready? Every Thursday at 6:30 p.m.
That's not really the bumper music I had planned to play,
that's
but I mean,
good
it'll,
stuff.
It'll work. I mean,
that's good stuff.
It's sounding like Alabama is going to need one reason to come out ahead.
Yeah.
Saturday or something. I made that work.
Hey, that's good music. Nothing wrong with that. The number is 737-9505. Got a few minutes. If you want to give us a call and let us know your thoughts on the upcoming games or want to report a weather situation or talk about anything you want to talk about, really. again, if you are listening, be on your toes tonight. Stay tuned here to 95.5. Jay will be keeping it updated for a little while.
Well, the watch is till 8, and we've got live programming till 7:30. So, okay. So somebody will be here, certainly.
Somebody will be manning the ship.
Has been some damage off to our west around the Brilliant Community Reform and as associated with those bands from Harvey. But ironically, the tracks have been almost north, just with a little bit of east movement to the northern, almost due northern movement. So not coming this way yet, but I mean, if we get a band that comes through here, you know, it could happen to us. Yep. So keep an eye on it.
Don't take but one. All right, games this weekend. Let's do the high school first. Ronnie not here, and doggone, this messes all the picks up. As we usually say, pull over, get you a safe place to write these picks down. But since Ronnie's not here, I guess just continue driving down the road. I'm going to check. Heard the phone ring, so I'm going to check before I start into these picks. And I don't think it's anything we're going to need. So, Hansville at Addison. Jeffrey picked Addison, and I'm going to agree with him. Addison Bulldogs wins this one. West Point at Wilson, or West Point home playing Wilson. Jeffrey picked Wilson, so I've got to disagree on this one. I'm going to go West Point just so we disagree. Vinemont Good Hope, a tough one to pick here. He went Good Hope. I'm going to go Vinemont just so we're not picking the same. Holly Pond versus Brindley Mountain. I think Holly Pond has got it going their way now. Holly Pond going to win this game. 2.5 touchdowns. We're looking at 20 points, 14 points, who knows, in that range. Holly Pond over Brindley Mountain. Cold Springs and Barry. Again, Jeffrey had a reason he had to stay with Barry because of a pick earlier by accident, but I'm going to go with Cold Springs. Jeffrey, we're not going to agree a lot on this. Coleman at North Jackson. We will agree on this when I think Coleman gets the W, gets in the win column for the year. Coleman over North Jackson. Fairview at East Lawrence. And I'm also going to stay here in the county and go with Fairview. So, again, that's Addison over Hansville. I've got West Point defeating Wilson. Vinemont beating Good Hope. Holly Pond defeating Brindley Mountain. Cold Springs over Barry. Coleman over North Jackson. And Fairview defeating East Lawrence.
All right, let's talk about our game for tomorrow night again real quick. That's going to be West Point versus Wilson. I heard you pick West Point, and did I hear Jeffrey pick Wilson earlier?
Yeah, he was high on Wilson because somebody they beat somebody.
They knocked somebody. I think he said Scottsboro or somebody. But yeah,
I don't remember who it was, but they beat them pretty bad, he said. So.
Could be an interesting night for football tomorrow night then.
I got to stay with the Warriors, though, till they get beat. So I like to pick the Coleman teams if I can. So.
Absolutely.
All right, this weekend in the college ranks. Jay, what do you think? Alabama, Florida State. You might as well throw your pick in.
Well, it's funny. You know, I get all of my sports information from the show on Live 95 called Sports Talk Live. It's the only exposure to sports I get all week.
Oh, me. Bless you.
But it's interesting because I've heard certain people pick Florida State. I've heard certain people pick Alabama. And, I mean, I've never heard this in my 39 years of being alive that, you know, Alabama might possibly lose a home.
Right.
I mean, come on.
I don't know when it's happened.
Are they at home? I missed
no,
that.
This is in Atlanta in the new stadium.
The first game
to ever be played there.
I knew that. Man, that could be interesting.
So I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm going to go with Florida State not only to cover the point spread but to upset Alabama in the season opener.
You just caused numerous wrecks across Coleman County.
Yeah.
All the Alabama fans are coming to get you.
And I'm not saying this because I'm an Auburn fan. As you know, I call it like I see it. If I think Auburn's going to get beat, or
I think
Alabama.
I missed Chris's pick. What did Chris say?
Chris actually didn't. I don't think he actually picked a winner. He said that he loved Florida State to cover the point spread. He said Alabama might win it, but it was going to be close. It would be within the point spread. So
it's going to be an interesting weekend.
Yeah, it'll be a close one, I think, either way. And, of course, Auburn over Georgia Southern. If Auburn don't beat Georgia Southern, go ahead and get a moving van and let's go help Gus get out of Auburn, because there will be a lynching like you have never seen if Auburn gets beat. Games tonight, anybody that, like I said, that's really a football fanatic, Ohio State and Indiana, Navy, Florida Atlantic, and Utah State, Wisconsin tonight. You got to love football to watch one of these, but I'll be watching a little bit of some of them. Probably won't watch all of them, but. And Jay, I know you'll be tuned in to at least one game.
Not tonight.
Will you watch it Saturday, though?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. I was beginning to worry about you. All right. Well, I'm going to.
I saw this meme on Facebook the other day that was like last Saturday. You know, this is like the last Saturday that you'll not have football for, like, you know. So if you want to do anything, you better get it done today. So.
Right.
And I hope everyone heeded that warning. So.
Yeah, my wife knows once football starts,
it's over.
Yeah, from about 11 o'clock on Saturday morning to about 11 p.m., 12 a.m., count me out on Saturday. It don't matter if it's a wedding, a funeral, or what. We've got to have football on Saturday. So. All right, I'm going to slide out of here about 7-8 minutes early and make room for...
We'll end it the way we used to end it, with another one bites the dust.
Yeah, and we won't have no Roll Tide today. All right, until next Thursday.
When we'll have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we'll be talking about week one, what went right, what didn't, and who's happy and who's sad. Sports Talk Live, we'll see you next week. I'm going to leave you with a big War Eagle.
Y'all stay tuned. Coming up here in about 8 minutes will be the Path Changers Habits of Health show, followed by the Big D Radio show right here on Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio.